Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Accomplish Radio Morning Show. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and the founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference, taking place September 10th through 12th in Dallas, Texas. If this is your first time joining us today, we're so excited you've joined us, and we're excited to announce that we've had thousands of listeners to Accomplish Radio Show, and very happy to have you here with us today. We're so glad you found us. Do us a favor and mark your calendar every weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central, and that's 9 Eastern and 8 Pacific. And you can also visit AccomplishRadio.com to hear any of our previous shows. Many of our interviews that you hear on our show are also featured inside future issues of Accomplish Magazine. And our magazine was actually intentionally designed in a digital format to give you a more dynamic experience. However, if you'd prefer to touch it and hold it and feel it and perhaps keep it at your coffee table, you know, we're also available in full-color print now. So just simply visit AccomplishMagazine.com and you can order your own issue and it will be sent directly to your home or office. And before I introduce you to our next guest, I want to talk just for a couple of minutes about the U.S. Small Business Conference. As I mentioned, it's happening September 10th through 12th in Dallas. We have put together some very exciting special programs that are not your typical type of conference things that you would find. One of them is the Press Media Mixer that was created to provide different types of avenues and venues and media sources that can interview our guests that attend our event and to possibly feature you in their media source, whether that be TV or radio, print, it could be podcasts or blogs or anywhere that features small business. And if you are listening to our show today and you are part of a media source, feel free to email us at info@ussmallbusinessconference.com, and we'd like to talk to you about participating at our conference, whether that be physically in Dallas on September 10th through 12th. It's actually going to be on September 11th that we hold our Press Media Mixer. Or if you'd like to participate on a virtual basis, we also have ways for you to be represented there, even though you physically can't be there. So please contact us and let us know. The theme for this year's conference is Business Communications, Strategy, Structure, and Style. And we have several speakers that will be presenting, and that will include our keynote speakers, Bernie Dorman, the founder of CEO Space. He's known as the mentor to mentors. He has personally worked with and coached Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. In fact, the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, the whole mega book series, was born inside of CEO Space. The organization's over 20 years old, and it literally has created just an unbelievable amount of successful people, including, you know, Harb Ecker and, gosh, just so many to even think of. But, you know, make sure that you look up USSmallBusinessConference.com and look at some of the speakers and presenters. One of our other keynote speakers is Benham Bakshande. He is the founder of PrimeCo Education, and he has literally helped thousands of business owners to accelerate. So with that, I would like to go ahead and introduce today's guest to our show. He is an entrepreneur, a mediapreneur, speaker, and author, and his name is David Zeitman Garland. After starting and stopping several unique entrepreneurial adventures and dabbling in everything from radio to hockey, David became frustrated that he could not find a great resource that wasn't a snooze fest, where forward thinkers could learn more about building, marketing, and promoting their own businesses by being smarter, faster, cheaper, as opposed to dumber, slower, and expensive. What was missing was a new kind of TV and web show, one that was entertaining and educational, and that was part of an online hub that resonated with forward-thinking entrepreneurs and others that struck out on their own without multi-million dollar budgets. Wow, that is exciting. And I just want to say welcome to our show today, David. Are you with us?
Oh, I am with us. Thank you for having me, Darlene. It's going to be fun.
Oh, this is a pleasure. I'm so excited. You and I had connected. In fact, you know, I recall the very first day I met you, I attended an NSA meeting, the National Speakers Association meeting, and this was a couple of years ago. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, what a dynamo. You were really going to be, you know, hitting the ground running. You just really had all the enthusiasm, the motivation, the excitement, the spirit of a true entrepreneur. And you shared your vision of what you were going to be creating with the Rise to the Top. And I am just so excited to have you on our show today.
So oh, well, thank you. I'm blushing over here. I'm blushing. I like it.
Aww. You know, I have been thinking about some questions to ask you because you're a person that usually is interviewing lots of great people. I know you've had just some phenomenal people that you've connected with and brought on your show. And why don't we just take a minute and talk a little bit more about the Rise to the Top. Tell our audience more about what you've created.
Sure. So, you know, you kind of read the description there of the idea that people are consuming, you know, media now that they want to be educational and inspiring and entertaining at the same time. And as a young entrepreneur, when I was getting started, I sort of created the resource that I sort of envisioned something that I would enjoy watching and participating in. And the idea behind the Rise to Top, and it's evolved over time since I started it, but the whole idea is doing interviews with unique people in different formats, mostly video, to really help entrepreneurs. And I'm talking about not just people that talk about it, I'm talking to people that are doing it. Because I always think that there is an amazing way to learn from people that have sort of already walked the walk and also talked the talk. So the idea is to bring in, and now we're kind of categorized into different categories, but I do a web show on therisetotop.com where it's sort of a combination of successful people that come on and sort of tell their story. Then we have people that share how-to information and advice for forward-thinking entrepreneurs. And I have a lot of authors on like Seth Godin and Chris Brogan and Daniel Pink sharing stories and lessons from their books. And then also, you know, because we're sort of generated young and young at heart, having some technology companies on talking about the web tools they're creating and things like that. So it's a diverse sort of setting, but all centered around this sort of unique interactive social media, if you will, and plus events and some other goodies.
I love that. And I know that you've started hosting some local networking events in St. Louis. And, you know, every single time you have one, I want to go, and then something comes up, and so I have to make sure I put it on my calendar to come out and visit. But quite a few of my friends have been, and they think it's fabulous. So congratulations on hosting successful events as well.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. And it's funny because a lot of people overlook that because a lot of people want to talk about the show a lot, you know, and I think the show, that's kind of the core. But those events, and you've hosted a lot of events and with your big conference coming up and different things like that, you know, there's so many things that we can do online, and I'm such an online person, I guess, in many ways. But nothing replaces face-to-face. Nothing replaces it.
Right.
And so these types of events that you're putting on and that we try to do is really to get people out from behind their computers and behind their desks and away from the coffee shops or wherever they're doing their work and, you know, getting out and shaking some hands and learning something along the way and making it fun and different. And I think that's always what kind of my core idea is, that business shouldn't be boring. And there's a fun element, there's a personality-filled element to it, and that's kind of where we kind of see a void that we fill.
I love that. You know, I've done so much work as far as social networking because you know me from the past of hosting, you know, networking events locally. And, you know, I've actually held over 100 networking events in my career, and which has been a great experience. And what I realized is, there's a whole new world that most people haven't even integrated into their life, and it's the online, you know, communities. And so for a while, I actually pulled completely out of doing any in-person events and did a lot of social networking online. And then I was like thinking, you know what, I really miss that interaction, that human touch that you're talking about, where you can actually, you know, meet someone and shake hands, because I believe that there is so much value in literally connecting. And that's why I wanted to create my national conference, so that, you know, 3 days, just intense 3 days that we all get together. But I'm trying to, you know, unite people all over the country. It's a little different concept versus local, but doing national and, you know, trying to integrate those people that we meet online that you develop relationships with before you even meet them, you know.
Yeah,
I love the fact that you went at
someone,
it.
Yeah, exactly. When you meet someone that you already have connected to online or vice versa, there's always, in my opinion, just a little better connection than a stranger, whether it's that you met on Twitter or that you met in person. When you extend that relationship from online to offline or offline to online, you know, it's certainly, it's you feel like you know that person a little bit better, which I think is a very interesting thing that we're living here in 2010.
Absolutely. And where communication seems to be the core of what you represent in your company, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, communications is a big element, and especially, you know, the world of communicating and marketing and promoting and really how entrepreneurs start and run their businesses, I think is a huge core of it, as well as also, which I've kind of had an epiphany on recently, there's also this sort of demystifying of the motivations of Gen Y also. It's sort of like an underlying set of side thing that I don't talk about a ton, but it's one of those things where the new consumer and sort of the new Gen Y entrepreneurs in many respects are sort of a different and exotic animal to a lot of people that are more in traditional business or are just getting started or more of the older generations. And not better or worse, just different. And people trying to understand each other, I think, has been a very interesting thing that has sort of appeared sort of by accident with the show.
So David, let me ask you. So, I mean, I know that are you in Gen Y?
I am a Gen Yer. I mean, the definitions are across the board, but technically it's people that are born from 1977 to 1997.
Okay. Well, and the only reason why I say this is that I know that you're still, you know, very young for a person that has created such a impact. I mean, you literally came right out of, you know, college and made this splash. I mean, just a huge, you know, impact, and it was just, I see you as kind of like a phenomenon, you know, going, okay, where did this guy come from out of nowhere, and then boom, you made this huge splash, and I know that there was a lot of time and preparation involved. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to have a TV show, or, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I mean, you put a lot of thought and energy into that. And let me ask you, what was it that inspired you to create The Rise to the Top?
Sure. So it's an interesting story because I graduated college. I'm 26 now, so spoiler alert there. So I graduated college, and I was originally going to get a job in California doing marketing at a hockey rink. I didn't have a marketing background, but I had a background in hockey, just a passion, and enjoyed hockey. And before I moved out there, 2 weeks before I moved out, the rink closed and became a parking lot. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what do I do now? And my first company, which I did for 2 years, was called Professional Inline Hockey Association here in St. Louis, Missouri. So we ended up with six teams in the Midwest. And my philosophy has always been to take a passion or an interest or possibly a budding passion that you're not sure if it's going to be great or not, and turn that into a business one way or another. That's always been sort of my philosophy, that money follows passion and not the other way around. So I started this Professional Inline Hockey Association, did that for 2 years. It was sort of like getting the real-life entrepreneurial MBA, if you will. So dealing with every problem, every success, all kinds of issues, doing sponsorships, cleaning bathrooms, doing a radio show, all kinds of different things that just sort of happened, and I was sort of running and gunning with it. So after that, after 2 years, I decided I wanted to move on and do something bigger and something that I was more excited about, where I could help more people. And the funny thing was, I almost made a critical mistake, and this is, I think, an interesting thing, is that I had done sponsorships for a few years. So I started an agency with the idea that, well, maybe I'll just do sponsorships for other people. You know, so if you had an event or something like that, I'd go and get you a sponsor, right? Great in theory and would have made a lot of money, but I'm not passionate about sponsorships. You know, it doesn't get me excited in the morning to do it. It would have made a lot of money, but it was one of those things where I wanted to do something that was bigger than that as well. So even before that got started, I had this idea. I had experience doing radio from pro inline hockey, which is a whole other story. But I had this vision of sort of, I just didn't see anything like the Rise to the Top. I didn't see anything that approached sort of the young and hard entrepreneur and helped them along, but it was social and interactive and fun and personality filled. And like you said, it started as literally just an idea. I want to do this show. No idea what I'm doing. And it started as a local TV show and evolved. But like you said, yeah, it took a lot of planning. I mean, fast planning, but planning nonetheless. So it started in a coffee shop talking with an idea with my graphic designer, Elizabeth. And literally 3 months later, we were on the air. So it did happen
quickly.
Wow.
3 months?
3 months. 3 months.
Wow.
I mean, it was like a cat. So June, I decided no more pro inline hockey. End of June, it started the agency, not really sure what I was going to do. August, had the epiphany, I want to do this show and this create this resource and do this whole thing. And then the first episode aired, it was even shorter than that, the first episode aired in October. So it was in a hurry.
Wow. Wow, that's very impressive. And I think I met you right in that same time frame because it was summer, I believe.
That was a big transitional time that I think a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners go through where it's not, you know, it's sort of a, you know, where am I going here? But, you know, in my opinion, I think taking action is usually undefeated, you know, trying something and then kind of growing your wings as you go.
I love that. So it's almost as if you saw the future in advance. You saw a little snippet, a glimpse of what you wanted to create. You had a vision and you weren't sure how exactly it was going to all come to life, but you went for it. And I think a lot of our listeners on this show, they lean towards that because, you know, obviously we're all about accomplishments. You know, what is it that, you know, we have our heart and our mind set on and what's our vision for the future? Even though we don't know exactly how to map it all out, we know that we're going to get there somehow, some way. And, you know, it was a similar concept that I went through when I was creating the U.S. Small Business Conference. It's something that I had always wanted to put together. I didn't know how it was going to happen. All I knew is it was going to come to life one way or another. And, you know, so it kind of happened in a very similar fashion. And, you know, when you create a team or a support system around you, so you had your graphic designer that said, David, great idea. Let's do it, right? And,
right,
you know, what can we do to move forward?
Yeah, she thought I was nuts, too, but that's the way I kind of like it. But she, you know, what was interesting, though, and I think a lot of people forget this, too, is that, yeah, I mean, there was an overall vision, and I think that's so important because I think that's what separates entrepreneurs from, you know, not entrepreneurs. And there was this overall vision, and then there were details, but the details are going to change over time. No plan goes 100%. No, you know, business plan is going to say, okay, this is exactly where we're going to do it. But I think an important thing that a lot of people have to remember is that when you have that misshapen ball of clay, at the end of the day, though, there has to be a revenue model. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, people sometimes forget that when they're starting a business that, and I know it sounds, you know, like Captain Obvious here, but it happens all the time, where it's very unsure where money at least initially is going to come from. And I don't want to give off sort of the impression that I was like running and gunning and then I was just waiting here and I was like, people are going to dump money on me and it's going to be a money party. It wasn't like that. It was, I knew where our revenue sources were early, and I think that helped keep that vision on board as opposed to just kind of waiting for it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Let's talk for a minute about that because obviously you had some training and you already had experience in sponsorships, and this has been brought up before on our shows because, you know, we have a lot of authors and a lot of speakers that come to Accomplish Radio, and you know, a lot of times they hold themselves back because they're either unable to do a great book launch because of funding, or they don't really know how to, you know, put together some sort of program on sponsorships. And, you know, and I know that that's a big thing for a lot of people, that they don't realize that if they're needing to get funding for whatever project that they're working on, whatever big accomplishment they want to bring to life, that getting, you know, a few sponsors that see the value in what you're creating and designing, that, you know, a sponsor may say, you know what, hey, I really like that idea, and, you know, we're willing to, you know, invest in what you're putting together. So you want to talk a minute about the sponsorship side of things?
Sure, yeah, and it's interesting because I, you know, sponsorships for me, it's been such an interesting subject because I did it with pro inline hockey, and then I was going to do it for others, and I realized, it's not necessarily my cup of tea, but it's a very interesting thing going on right now because sponsorships and advertising in general are really, really changing, and I think it's a fascinating time to be involved with it because it used to be you had to have these big traditional platforms to draw any kind of money, if that makes sense. So you had to have, a big TV station or a big radio show. It wasn't niche. It was all about mass. That, of course, has changed with shows like this one, where I think there's huge opportunities. Also, like you mentioned, with speakers and coaches and things like that, anyone that's in front of a niche audience, I think, can be sponsored in one way or another. Because whether you're doing a show or you're speaking or there's a combination of the things, because marketers are getting savvier by the day. They're not evil people. Some are, maybe. But they're getting savvier by the day, and they're realizing that this big budget approach, right, of all the expensive things that you have to do to create an ad really isn't working. So what I mean by that is that imagine if that you're doing an ad, Darlene, and you say, okay, I want to promote the, you know, U.S. Small Business Conference, right? So maybe what would be your approach? Well, you could go to some traditional newspapers, you could go to some radio, and you could go to some TV, and you're essentially guessing, in many cases, that the people that are watching those shows are going to be interested in the U.S. Small Business Conference, right? And you're going to take an investment risk of doing so. So you're going to spend money, and you're going to have to get a commercial produced, and you're going to have to do all these different things, all to take a risk, and maybe 1% of that audience is interested. Now, everything's becoming fragmented, and this is an incredible opportunity for people to get sponsored and also to sponsor things, in my opinion. So if you're listening and interested in sponsoring stuff, I think this is interesting as well. So what I mean by that is now there's blogs, new media sources, whatever it may be, that are directly in the demographic, like a laser cut of the niche that you're trying to reach. And it's probably going to be less expensive, and it could be more creative. So like on my show, for example, I kind of do it old school radio style where I actually mention verbally the sponsor and also show them on the screen as opposed to the commercial. Now think about that from a sponsor perspective. They're not having to pay for that creative. They don't have to bring in Steven Spielberg and do different things or whatever they need to pay for. Instead, they're directly reaching entrepreneurs. Similar with the U.S. Small Business Conference or a speaker, when you're directly reaching someone, there's an opportunity to get sponsored. And like everything in business, sponsorships are all about relationships, just like everything. And so regardless of it, whether you're getting started or whatever, there's an opportunity to start now to start building those relationships for sponsors.
So you're saying to reach out and connect with sponsors before you even need to call on them, basically.
Exactly. You know, I've said this many times, and it's just been a good lesson. You know this, Darlene, is that building a network before you need it is critical. And
absolutely,
what can you do to offer value to a sponsor right now, possibly for free? This doesn't mean give away the house or anything like that. But let's just say I wanted let's just use your conference, for example. So free advice. So let's just say there's a company that wants to reach small businesses in a conference setting. So, make up a company. Name one that you think that you'll be trying to attract. Just make one.
I'm just going to try to go for Microsoft.
Okay, so let's say it's Microsoft. Okay, great example. So what normally happens is you try to pitch Microsoft, right? So you find a contact, beg, borrow, or steal, find some kind of contact or contact form, and you say, here's my event, here's what we can offer, give us money, it's going to be great. Problem is, rarely works. Once in 100, it works. Actually, the first time I did it, it works, which is one of those horrible stories. The first time I actually did something like that, it worked, setting the worst precedent of all time.
Wow.
It rarely works. It's a 1 in 1,000 chance if you're going to do that. Now, contrast that. What else could you do? If you contacted Microsoft and said, okay, here's the deal. You guys have X software or whatever that you want to get in front of the U.S. Business Administration. What if you just give us some of it and we take a percentage of sales? If it works, in the future perhaps you can sponsor next year's conference. Some way to get the foot in the door that is a mutual partnership and creating like a win-win-win situation. Something like that. Because sometimes they won't want to pay those upfront fees, but perhaps they can offer some $500 sponsor or $500 software package that people can get getting the conference, and maybe you get 50% of it to start.
Hmm.
What's the risk on them? Not much, right?
Right.
Because if you don't sell it, they're not paying. If it works, the next year you can go back and say, hey, look, we sold, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 10, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think we could do something a little more formal, could do some more advertising, things like that? I think when you open with an offer that creates that win-win-win situation, you're going to set up an opportunity for success. It's all about, in my opinion, big money later, taking a little bit now. People try to go for that big home run, and I think that's where you end up striking out a lot of times. You got to hit those little singles, and then they build up to a home run over time.
I love it. And I, you know, I never really would have approached it in that fashion. And usually I'm the person that will reach out to my network and say, you know, who do you know that has done sponsorships in the past?
Good idea.
And, you know, that's how I usually follow through. And then I literally will ask them, would you be interested in, you know, helping us to, you know, create this partnership? And I usually bring in that third person that can be the conduit, the connector to,
right,
you know, the person that makes that decision. And, of course, we always provide them with value. So we do make
sure
that win-win-win situation as often as possible. But I love that approach where, you know, it's a low risk, almost a they'd be crazy not to take you up on an opportunity if there's
right,
not
exactly
much for them to gamble, right?
Right, exactly, because you can either push and go for the home run or strikeout, or you can go for a little bunt single, you know? And what's interesting about the bunt single is that you're not, you know, when you come in there, you're not going to put them on guard. Everyone knows what happens when you go on guard. Like when you get a cold call or something like that and someone wants something from you, you're going to be on guard right away. When you come in giving something and saying, look, I've got an audience, they would love X product, what can we work out to get in front of them this year so I can help you out? And I think when you start with that approach of looking as a relationship building, a long-term relationship as opposed to a one-night stand, you know, if you would, I think you're setting yourself up for more success.
That's fabulous. I love it. And so, well, what if there were, I assume you would probably approach the marketing team or marketing staff or, you know, executive directors or try to, I mean, I personally don't go straight to the top, although I have, you know, worked with, you know, CEO to CEO. I think that's okay as well if you've got a good rapport or you've already built, you know, some credibility. But for those people in our audience that have not, you know, actually gotten to that point yet, would you suggest they just contact someone perhaps in their, I don't know, maybe new product division? Maybe that would be a good way because they're trying to get the word out?
Sure. I mean, you know, it depends on who you're selling to, right? Because big companies are very different than small companies. The decision-making may go up a ladder. I mean, at the end of the day, you want to have the person that can make the decisions be the one that you're talking to one way or another. How to get to that person, that's a whole other story. In my opinion, you know, right now, in 2010, there's some kind of first point of communication online. Somewhere. Meaning, I don't know, it might be the customer service person that's on Twitter. It might be the PR company. It might be, you know, who knows who the heck it is. But they're somewhere online, whether it's Facebook or whatever. I mean, simply reaching out to those people and say, look, I have an idea. That, you know, creating, I have a way to get it in front of some different people. Whatever it may be, coming with them trying to get a nudge in the right direction. I mean, exactly. I mean, you don't have to start by trying to get exactly to the CEO, but you want to move up the chain, because if you get to the person that can't make decisions, you're just going to keep going and going in a circle. So before you get to the actual thing, you know, you have to get past whatever that gatekeeper may be, which might be an online, it might be, you know, or it might just be that the CEO directly tweets right now and you may be able to reach out to him. I mean, I've done that back in the day with Kodak. Is that Jeffrey Hazlett, who's not with Kodak anymore, he was the CMO, great guy, and I just directly tweeted him, Jeffrey, I got an idea for some stuff with Kodak. Immediately tweets me back, here's my email, shoot it over. Started a conversation, you know? And
wow.
Then he left and it didn't work, so bad end of the story. But the idea is there. For every one of those stories, we have a bunch of successes. But I'm saying that now we're in an era of accessibility, online especially, where people are accessible, but that also means that also a lot of people are trying to contact them, right? So you have to stick mm-hmm. out. I mean, you have to have something that's high quality, otherwise you get lost in the mess of spammers and sketchy people, which you never want to be in.
Good point. Let me ask you this. Is there a, you know, and I'm, you know, I have not really gone and done a lot with sponsorships, but, you know, it is something that we are embracing more for, you know, each conference. And, you know, of course, with Accomplish Magazine, we have some advertisers and things like that. But in your opinion, is there a certain time of year that is a good time to approach people, or does it even matter?
You know, I think it depends on the company, but it doesn't mean to stop approaching. Some people have a fiscal year. Other people just make decision, run and gun. You know, I think you have to kind of play by their game, by the sponsor's game, but that's also an early question to ask when making contact, saying, hey, you know, how are the, just out of curiosity, when are the marketing and budgeting decisions made? Well, we have to have everything in by June 1st. Well, we have to have everything. No, we kind of make them ongoing throughout the year. So there's definitely not a blanket answer for that. I think it just depends literally on the company, and it's hard to guess unless you know another person that's gotten a sponsorship from them, or you ask directly, in my opinion.
That's great. Yeah, I didn't really know, and you know, we just sort of approach, you know, as we need to, and you know, but as we forecast our conference, obviously is a national conference that happens every year, so perhaps some of the folks that are being connected with now, you know, we might say, you know, perhaps 2011, you know, might be their better suggestion. And, you know, I was talking with someone not too long ago about, I had always done just a PowerPoint presentation because I'm a speaker and I love PowerPoint. I'm a visual type of person.
Sure.
And, you know, I thought, I mean, I didn't know that that's, you know, putting together a PowerPoint presentation for a sponsorship package is actually more likely to be received versus, you know, a big packet of information. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's different. I don't think it's the medium. I think it's often the message. But every company is different, you know, with that kind of stuff. But I think similar to networking, the same thing with sponsorships apply, where, like I mentioned earlier, you know, building that network before you need it. It's the same thing sort of with sponsorships. I mean, we've had to do stuff before, like when we had the first season of the show, I had, you know, 6 weeks to get sponsors, and I was lucky that I was able to get probably like $100,000 of sponsorships in a few weeks.
Oh, my God.
But here's the thing that was interesting about it, and I'm not saying that because I'm really awesome, because I'm not. I'm saying it because...
You are awesome.
I'm saying that because no one that I talked to was cold called. Nobody that I talked to was cold called. It was all from a previous relationship one way or another, and it was the network was built before it was needed, if that makes sense. So, for example, none of those $100,000, actually one that I just got lucky on, but the other ones were more or less that I had known them from the past. We had met at an event. I had attended something they did. You know, every relationship has a story and a trace back, right? So... Something there. Then when it was time for me to call with an opportunity, they were receptive to listen to me because I don't do it all the time. I didn't do it. That wasn't how the relationship started. And I think that was one of the secrets. Actually, looking back, I've never really even thought about it, but now that I'm looking back, it was the whole idea of having a network of people to tap into before you need it. And I think, you know, that's true in networking, it's true in sponsorships, it's true in really anything you do with business.
Oh, I believe that completely. You know me, David. I'm all about, you know, building an established community and network. It's that's, and in fact, everything that my profession has been on, networking for many years. And so let's change direction just for a minute. Thanks for sharing, you know, your tips on sponsorships, because I know that is something that a lot of people want to include more and just don't know even how to start or where to begin. Or well, let me ask you before we change into a different topic here, but is there any type of, I don't know whether it be like a teleseminar or even a book or anything like that, that, you know, you could suggest to anybody who is looking to build on sponsorships that they might be able to get some additional guidance on that?
Interesting, because, you know, there's actually, believe it or not a huge amount of resources in it, for sponsorships, just because a lot of times they're so personal in many respects. I definitely talk about it in my upcoming book, not to shamelessly plug it, but in my upcoming book, there's a chapter about how advertising and sponsorship is completely changing and where people can pay attention to, as well as networking and getting to connect with anyone is one of the chapters mm-hmm. in the book, how to connect with anyone. So I would say that, you know, if I come across anything, happy to find me, hunt me down on therisetop.com. Maybe I'll find something, but nothing actually top of mind, believe it or not.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Well, let's talk about your book while you're bringing it up. What's the title of it again?
So it's called Smarter, Faster, Cheaper is the official title.
Hmm. So when did you start putting your book together? Has this been a work in progress for a while?
Well, interesting story on this. So, you know, the title Smarter, Faster, Cheaper, Non-Boring, Fluff-Free Strategies for Marketing and Promoting Your Business. And it comes out in December. It's now, you can pre-order it now. The story's kind of interesting is that it's a little bit embarrassing, actually. So what happened was Wiley Publishing, who's great, they approached me early this year. Mm-hmm. And I had several authors on my show, and they came to me, which was sort of a dream situation, said, would you like to do a book? And I said, sure, I'd like to do a book, because I like writing, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to spread some ideas and really help some people and also get into another medium that I enjoyed. And believe it or not, the entire deal, so from the first phone call to signing the contract and signing a major publishing deal with them, what happened in 1 week.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And what I think it's a testament, though, of creating a platform. And that's what I've always strived to do is, you know, create the Rise to Top as a platform to do other things, help people, but also, you know, obviously be a successful company. So the idea came from, you know, really how marketing and promoting is changing so much right now. And it's such a critical time where becoming a trusted resource is the key, as opposed to being a product pusher, which is the way it always used to be. And marketing, you know, direct marketing, I'm not saying direct marketing is dead by any means, but it is certainly changing how people receive it, and also of all ages, but especially the younger generation. So what's interesting is that it used to be that corporations had the massive advantage in marketing because they had all the money, right? So they would spend all on ads and billboards and, you know, bumper stickers, whatever, garbage. And now I strongly believe that small businesses and entrepreneurs have the advantage. It has completely shifted here in 2010 and beyond, because now I think the passion and the creativity and the drive and the ability to connect one-on-one with people and create your own media like something like this is far more powerful than the way that we used to market to people. And so this book sort of shares thoughts on this and ways that people can implement it right now. And it does draw on a little personal story, but also over 150 interviews with people that are doing marketing this way, sharing their stories about how they did it, with advice for entrepreneurs and small business owners. So pretty pumped about it.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait till the book is out because you know I'll be one of your first fans to, well, of course, you're going to have to autograph the copy for me. So.
Oh, deal. For you, Darlene, of course. I'll autograph it for sure.
So cute. So let's talk about one of your biggest accomplishments that you've achieved up to this date, David, because I know you've done a lot. And, you know, what's the biggest thing that you are most proud of that you've accomplished?
You know, I got to say, I mean, it's a little cliche. It has to be the book. It has to be the book. You know, the show, I'm very happy about the show. It's hard to pick one thing that I'm excited about because I wake up kind of a generally excited person. But it was extremely humbling, and I also saw it as a big responsibility when I was offered a major book deal when it was signed. I was 25. It was right before my 26th birthday. And for me, it was sort of such a kind of a cool feeling and something that I was just excited about that this was, you know, happening. And I think if I were to trace one thing right now, it would have to be that.
Wow. Congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment. In fact, you know, when you brought this up that it was Wiley Publishing, they approached me last year and to do a book deal. And they needed, like, immediately a response, and they needed me to literally get a book done. I think I had literally 3 months.
Oh, yeah. I know it.
Yeah.
I did it.
And I was honored. I was thrilled. I was excited. I was shocked, you know, that someone actually did that. And, you know, it was a great opportunity. But I was also developing the U.S. Small Business Conference simultaneously, and I had to make a choice. Do I go for the book deal, which sounded so attractive, so wonderful, and put my own dream on hold, or do I tell them I can't do it? And I had many sleepless nights, let me tell you.
Sure.
It was so hard for me to walk away because I felt like the book that they were developing and, you know, what the whole project was, it talked to me. It was, like, made for me. And I was a perfect fit. I was a perfect match. And I really didn't know what to say, but I said, you know what, I have to – I knew that I couldn't do justice to creating the U.S. Small Business Conference and the book simultaneously, and I had to tell them I can't do it. And that was the hardest thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, timing is right on – you know, timing has to be right on everything. And for me, the timing was right. For other people, it's, you know, it's different on different things. And, you know, I think you have to keep with the overall concept. And for me, this was on my definite list of things to do. So it just made sense. And for you, you know, at the time, it may not have. And for other people, it may have and may not have. So, you know, I think every decision in business is a choice. And, you know, and you try to do more good ones than bad ones, and you're pretty good at the end of the day.
Well, let me ask you something. We're kind of coming down to the end of our show here, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think the one thing is that contributed to your success? I know that's kind of hard to pinpoint and to nail down because you've had so many great
accomplishments. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question, but I like it. You know, I think if I were to classify one thing, I would have to say that it has to be action-taking in many respects, meaning that implementing ideas are, you know, a dime a dozen. Everyone has a lot of ideas all the time. I've yet to meet anyone that really doesn't have an idea of something. But actually taking an idea and taking the next steps, I think, have been the key to success. It doesn't mean that you overplan. It doesn't mean that you underplan. But I also think that there was an advantage being naive about a lot of different things. So, like, when I started a TV show, if I would have done probably all the due diligence that maybe I, quote-unquote, should have done, I probably would have scared myself half to death and maybe done nothing and maybe cried myself to sleep. I don't really know. But being a little bit naive and a little bit confident at the same time, I think has been the key because, you know, it's easy to talk your way out of stuff. It's easy for people to say this is a bad idea. It's much more difficult to move forward with the vision, and I think that's sort of been the internal drive that's been the key thing.
I love it. That's fabulous. Now, and I'm going to ask you one last tricky, tough question, because nobody who achieves success or has, you know, accomplished great things has ever done it smoothly. So is there any type of challenge or obstacle that you had to overcome that you found your way, all of a sudden you went, oh my gosh, now what? Or I can't believe this just happened. Is there anything that you could share with our audience that perhaps they can relate to it and you can kind of tell us how you got through that?
Oh, sure. You know, I'm a big fan of miserably failing all the time. So, you know, we're hearing about the positive stuff here, but yeah, there's been all kinds of fail. I try to fail doing something every day. The key is being able to approach it, in my opinion, like an experiment. That's the way I see it, like with the green vial of goo and the mad scientist with the coat. That's what I sort of approach business as, is one giant experiment. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of problems. I mean, a couple that I can attest to. One that I find interesting, there was a money problem in late 2008 where I was running out of money for the first half of our year. We had some production costs that went through the roof, and I was like, oh my God, what do we do? And had it tap into creativity, that was a big passion tester right there, because if it was something that I wasn't really excited about and believed in, I would have given up. But instead, I cut our costs, I want to say by 80 grand in about a week, because I used Craigslist to find video editors and ended up turning my condo momentarily into our production studio to save money. So being scrappy with saving money is a huge thing that a lot of startups and business owners have to do early on, and it's a passion tester, because if you're not really excited about it or you're just chasing the money, it's going to scare you away. The second one, and I think this one may be even more important, is what I like to call shiny red ball syndrome. So shiny red ball syndrome is that when you're an entrepreneur or business owner, and I'm sure everyone can attest this that's listening, is that opportunities jump up all over the place, especially when you get going and you have any kind of level of success. People suggest you doing this, and you suggest doing this, and there's side projects and side deals and side things and whatever it may be. And choosing the right things to do and getting rid of all the rest was one of the critical things. So for me, for example, just a concrete example of this was I started doing some internet marketing consulting early this year, and the money was big, and people were very interested in it, but I just wasn't excited about it, and it was detracting me from the big vision of focusing on the show and the events and the book and the content and doing that stuff. And even though the money was there, it wasn't really something that made me excited, and so I stopped it. I fulfilled what I needed to do, and I stopped it. And I think that's a lesson for every entrepreneur, that you have to be driven by something more than money. An overall vision, whatever it may be, and the money comes. I mean, you have a plan for money, but if you're just doing it for money, that's where trouble ensues. So I've always seen failures as experiments, and, you know, always try to keep plugging on and learn it and try not to do it twice.
Wow, that's really good. I like that because, you know, when you're a connector, when you have a network, everyone always seems to say, Darlene, would you do me a favor? Would you tell everybody you know? Let people know that, you know, they have this great new widget that's come out, or, you know, oh, Darlene, you need to be involved with this, or, hey, can I ask you to, you know, promote my business or opportunity, or, and, you know, and I fall for that too, and I actually just refer to it as the SOS, you know, the shiny object syndrome, so very similar
right.
to yours,
and, no, I mean, yeah, and
it was
hard.
Something I had to learn
no.
too.
Yes, saying no is one of the most difficult yet important things that you have to do in business because, you know, especially in now with all these things that are important in business now, like accessibility and transparency and easy to contact people and get in contact, the ability to also say no, I mean, is something that will keep you, one, from going insane, and two, you know, it's difficult, though. I wish it was so easy that we'd say, oh, if you don't like it, you just say no. But you know it's not that easy, but it's something that's important.
It's so hard, especially where you want to be able to help everyone and you do position yourself as a resource, you know, that, you know, I have had to really evaluate everything and I've had to, you know, find just the right words to say to someone that I don't get them upset, because I want to be able to help everyone, but yet I also have my own goals and I have to stay, you know, completely focused as you do with what you're creating and building your empire and, you know, trying to find the supporters that get behind you as well as you supporting others. Let me go ahead and just find out here if I could ask you, if you were to give advice to anyone who is perhaps, you know, starting their own, you know, maybe a TV show or something similar to what you've created, what's the one bit of advice that you would give to them?
Sure. I think the one piece of advice is don't get held up on the technology. I think that's a big thing that I have a ton of advice, so I'm going to end up giving two, bonus one. But technology is one of those things where it can look like the barrier to entry, regardless of whether you're super tech savvy or you're sort of don't know the difference between a megabyte and a spider byte. Doesn't really matter. There's a lot of tools out there that can make this super simple and you can learn it. There is a learning curve, but you can do it. So if technology is the barrier, let me assure you that you can learn how to do it. I don't care who you are. Second of all is if you're going to create content online, the biggest mistake that people make consistently is that they make the content all about them, their products, whatever it may be, and spoiler alert, nobody cares. So I wish they could, but we all think everyone cares, but nobody cares. If you can center your content around a passion or an interest as opposed to just your product and service and you, you're going to set up for success. And I think those would be the two things to cheat and answer with two.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much, David, for your words of wisdom and your advice. And, you know, can you tell our audience the best place to connect with you?
Sure, absolutely. So the hub is you can go to therisetothetop.com, and you can also check out the book on there. It's all interconnected, which is smarterfastercheaper.com. You can find me on Twitter at therisetothetop and on Facebook at risetothetop. I forgot the it was stupid. And you can also, for you, Darlene, because we all know each other here, my personal Facebook account is Facebook/David Garland, G-A-R-L-A-N-D.
Fantastic. This has been an incredible interview. I'm so glad you were able to join us and take time out of your day. And, you know, is there anything else that you might want to share before we end our show today?
Oh, I can always share something, but you know what? I'll shut up for a rare moment.
All right. Well, listen, David, thank you again for being our guest on Accomplish Radio. We really do appreciate you taking time to be with us. And to our audience, you've been listening to the Accomplish Radio show, and we hope that you've enjoyed our time today and our interview with David Siteman Garland. And if you would, if you're looking at the little player that's online as you're listening to our show being broadcast live, if you would do us a favor and click on the little bitty heart symbol that is on the player and mark our show as one of your favorites, we would really appreciate that. You can also see all of our upcoming shows at AccomplishRadio.com or at AccomplishMagazine.com, and you can see you can even mark some of them to send you reminders. And just mention that we are broadcasting live each weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central. So start your day with us. Want to also announce our contest. Want to make sure that everyone saw that. If you go to AccomplishMagazine.com, you can get your free subscription to our magazine. And inside, we have a free business card ad that we're giving away in a future issue. And here's how it works. You simply send us your V card. That's the letter V and card. V as in Victor. And send it to admin, A-D-M-I-N, at AccomplishMagazine.com, and then go join our Facebook group, which we are really grateful to have over 500 members to our group all of a sudden. If you just search out Accomplish Magazine and join our Facebook group and send us your V-card, you'll automatically be entered into the drawing, and starting August 2nd, we'll be announcing a winner every day on Accomplish Radio Show. And today's show has been brought to you by Tuesdays at 2. It's a Facebook social networking party every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central. You can join the fun and network with us online. And simply search Tuesdays at 2 on Facebook and start networking. And if you'd like to have your business mentioned on our show, simply visit Accomplish Magazine and check out our new radio spotlights available in our advertising section. I'd also like to mention that I will be featured in a new book coming out this fall, actually in September, called Incredible Business. And you can also place your advanced order now before it's actually released if you visit sassynetworker.com. And be listening for announcements on our virtual book launch that is happening in September. Also, of course, the U.S. Small Business Conference that's coming up September 10th through 12th. Tickets are now on sale, and there are just a couple of vendor tables still available. Our early bird discounts will be expiring here very soon, so make sure you visit ussmallbusinessconference.com. And the last thing I want to mention as I close our show today is that we are still accepting nominations for America's Most Influential Business Connector, along with Best Business Connector in Dallas. And if you think of someone who goes out of their way to make introductions, that goes and creates a place for a community, they might be a leader in their own town or in city, you know, anywhere throughout the nation. If you would like to take a couple of minutes and nominate someone, we would really appreciate that. And we'd like to recognize them at the U.S. Small Business Conference for all their efforts and for giving so much to so many small businesses. And simply they do it just because they want to see someone become a success. We're also putting together a special Business Connectors Networking Social happening Friday, September 10th from 4 to 6 p.m., where you can get a chance to come out and meet all the nominees that were nominated for our award and congratulate them in person. So again, make sure you visit ussmallbusinessconference.com and just click on the nomination button and take a couple minutes to nominate someone. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Our radio show has actually been ranked in the top 20 for business talk shows. We're very grateful that people have been tuning in and listening. The broadcast for today, the interview with David, will be replayed on AccomplishMagazine.com. If you just click on the little radio tab on our website, it is replayed and rebroadcast all day today. And, of course, it is available also on the on-demand episodes as well as through iTunes. So, again, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to the Accomplish Radio Show. I'm Darlene Willman, your host for today's show, wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments.